Hi guys, my name is Chooks, and today I'm going to be teaching you on how not to go broke trying to fund your business.
Hi everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Don't Go Broke Trying. I am your host, Renny, and if you don't know me, I am a full-time content creator who makes content all about financial literacy. This podcast, as I said, is called Don't Go Broke Trying, and on this podcast, we teach you how to not go broke trying to live your best life. So what I do is I basically invite guests on here, some of whom have gone broke doing XYZ, or people who are experts in the field so that they can teach you to make sure that you do not go broke. Today we have a very interesting episode, and it's all about how to not go broke trying to fund your business. A lot of y'all have started businesses, and I've started businesses in the past, and we've gone broke trying to fund our businesses. So the whole point of today's episode is to really learn from an expert who works in the field, who sees businesses sometimes go broke trying to fund their business, and make sure that you do not do the same. So I can't wait for you to listen to this episode, and let me introduce our guest for today. So today I have the wonderful Chooks here. Hi, Chooks.
Hi, Renny.
How are you?
I'm good.
How you feeling?
Chill.
Yeah?
The weather today is great.
Yeah, it's great?
Yeah, compared to where I'm coming from.
Okay, so Chooks flew in today, actually, like right a few hours ago. He flew in from Halifax. And I the weather here is not great, but I guess compared to Halifax, it is. Yeah, we're grateful to have you here. Thank you so much for coming. So could you introduce yourself to the audience? Just tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, great. It's nice to be here, and thanks for the invitation. My name is Chooks. About me. So I'm from Nigeria. I came to Canada in 2021. Loosely, I'll describe myself as someone who is a go-getter, a problem solver. Career-wise, I've sort of been in the financial services industry for a couple of years. And I currently work for a financial services industry here in Canada, a financial services company that provides and supports Canadian entrepreneurs. And I think that's also one of my passions, supporting businesses and helping entrepreneurs get to where they need to be, right? And so, yeah, that's a bit about me. And I also like traveling too. So.
Nice, I love it. And what do you do at this financial services institution?
Well, essentially, my role, I'm responsible for allowing our customers have a smooth experience from when we sign them up until when they essentially decide not to terminate their relationship with us.
Right. So signing up for loans, correct?
Yeah, signing up for loans. Yeah.
So if y'all need money for your business, you know where to go.
Hit me up.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. So we always start off our episodes with a Renny Rated segment. And okay. Renny Rated is basically the products that I am loving. I think it's a 10 out of 10. So what is a product, a service, a song, anything? What is something that you're really loving right now?
Right now. That's going to sound cheeky though, but someone recently introduced me to Snapchat. So that doesn't sound
Snapchat
right.
Snapchat in 2023?
Yeah, so I feel old already. So Snapchat and LinkedIn, right? But I think after a couple of trying to keep up with Snapchat is a bit of I'm back to Instagram anyway. But yeah, Snapchat, Instagram, but LinkedIn. So I do a lot of prospecting, a lot of communication via LinkedIn. Hmm. Right, so I feel like LinkedIn is doing it for me. Then on the chill side, of course, Netflix has always been my go-to app. Right.
What are you watching on Netflix right now?
I watch, and that's a very good question. I watch a lot of documentaries.
Okay.
Right. There was a documentary. I don't want to name it, but it sort of was talking about the intersection between the Ottoman Empire.
Oh.
And the Christians, right?
I saw that. Well, I didn't actually watch it, but when I was in Turkey, I think someone told me to watch
it. Oh, yeah. Can we see it here?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, the Resurrection Retrogro, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the name of the show. It's really, really good.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Very cool. Okay, so now I just want to give a quick disclaimer, as I do in every episode, that this is not financial advice. This is simply our experiences. And yeah, we're just talking. Don't, before you take any loan, before you take any grant, before you take any money from anyone, make sure that you do your own research and contact a professional. This is not financial advice. Yep. Okay, so we always like to go back to the beginning, okay, like all the way back to the beginning and get to know you as a person before we get into learning more about your expertise. So can you tell us a little bit about you? Like, where did you grow up? I know you said Nigeria already, but where did you grow up and what was your first memory of money, if you can remember it?
Whew, that's a great question. So I grew up in Nigeria, moved a bit from the eastern part, then to Lagos, where I was for over 30 years, right? So growing up in Nigeria was fun. It was interesting. Nigerians would know the hustle, right? Of growing up specifically in Lagos, right? Mm-hmm. My first experience with money, right? And this is going to sound weird, though. So in high school, secondary school, what you call high school here, I and my brothers, we went to the same school. And we're sort of wanted to get like a video game, PlayStation. And we did something very ingenious. We started selling in school,
okay,
which was not the best way to go about it because it was against the rules, but whatever.
What were you selling?
Sweets.
Okay.
So we're selling sweets. We're selling lollipops for, I don't know the amount, but we're buying it obviously in bulk, cheaper, and selling it at a very, very high margin. We're able to save up to purchase our first video game. So that was really crazy, right?
You know what? The reason I'm smiling so big right now is because that's like my first business as well.
Oh, okay. So that's cool.
Yeah, so basically I went to my elementary school. So I was a kid and I was maybe in grade 4 or 5. So I think, I'm not sure how old you are, 8 or 9 maybe. And I had a business where, well, basically my parents would buy stuff from Costco. And you know, everything's in bulk, right?
Yep.
So they would buy sour keys. And my sister and I love sour key candy. And I would take those, put them in a little plastic bag, and go into the playground and sell them at school.
Was that legal?
No, I got in trouble.
So
I got in trouble. I got in big trouble. Like, they shut me down at school. I also was selling this little, like, arts and crafts. And I would, like, sell it on the playground. And then one day they called us and said, you're not allowed to do this. It was me and my friend. And they said, we're not allowed to do this. So yeah, it's cool that we have a similar. But the thing is, my dad actually incurred. He was like, why would they? This is so entrepreneurial. This is so smart of you. Why would they shut you down? But yeah, that's cool that you had the same experience.
Yeah. So that it was more like a foray into just sort of realizing that money, you just have to meet the need, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you get value. Right, so that was like the
very cool. And now you help entrepreneurs get financing for their businesses.
Yeah, I also need help too, but you know, yeah, for now.
So is that what, would you say that's where your passion for a business came from?
Yeah, I think so. So generally, even just prior to joining like the whole 9-to-5 stuff, right? I think I'd always been that kind of person that liked advising people. Or people sought me somehow for my own opinions on stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess it was something I honed on later on.
Nice.
In my career, yeah.
Nice. And a lot of our audience does consist of business owners, and specifically black business owners. Yeah. So a lot of them are looking to get funding for their business. So let's go to the very... I like to explain things as if it's like anyone can understand this. Exactly.
Yep.
Bare bones. So what does it mean to get funding for your business?
Yeah, so that's a very good question. So funding, every business, right, needs cash, right? And so funding, getting funding is all those processes, like you have to pass through, right, to get resource, financial resource, which is in form of cash for your business. So you could getting that, who to get that from, in what form, and how, right, that's getting funding for your business, right?
So okay.
You could get funding from institutions, banks, that kind of thing. You could get from individuals in form of angel investment or seed investment. You could also get from governments in form of grants, right, or foundations, right, those kind of institutions. Of course, what are those types of funds you can get from them?
Mm-hmm.
You could get debt financing, right? So you're getting a loan from a bank or a payday lender, which I would not advocate.
Yeah.
You're getting equity investment from an angel investor or a VC. You're getting grants from provincial, federal governments or foundations, right? Or you could even get seed investment from family members, right? That's a form of funding for businesses.
Okay, so let's try to break down each and every one of those.
Okay.
So the first one that we'll talk about is debt. So yep. If you are getting funding in the form of debt, that mm-hmm. means you're getting a loan, if I understand correctly.
Yep.
And so who can you get a loan from? The bank?
So yeah, that debt essentially is you're approaching an institution, a bank, a lender to borrow funds mm-hmm. at a particular time to repay interest, right? Okay. So typically, you're advised to seek debt financing or funding when you have one predictable cash flow.
Okay.
Which means your business should be at a particular stage where you've had recurrent revenue and you can predict how your next funds are going to come in, right? Because you need to pay.
Yeah.
You need to service your loan. That's the word.
Yeah.
You need to service your loan. So that's for debt financing, right?
Okay, that makes sense because I feel like a lot of people go broke because they take out debt financing too early, right?
Yep.
Your business is not even making money regularly and you're trying yep. to get a loan from someone which has interest on top of it.
Yep.
So it could end up with a little shaky, right?
And right now, that's not the best time.
Oh, yeah.
Because with interest rates going up, mm-hmm. you have higher interest.
Yeah.
So the customers would, the bank transfers that to the customers.
Yeah, they don't take happy that.
Definitely look at their financials right now. They are doing a lot. They are having a very good quarter.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is attributed to the fact that customers are paying high interest.
Mm, good to know. So, okay. So then there are other types like, as you said, equity.
Yep.
Can you explain what equity is?
Yeah. So that's a very, I think a lot of your guests would probably understand that. So equity investment is essentially a company raising funds. So they are relinquishing their equity or stake ownership shares and getting cash injection.
Right? Mm-hmm.
And so usually you have angel investors, VCs, who want to invest in high growth, scalable companies, right? Those are the kind of criteria they look out for.
Okay.
And so they say, you know what, we like what you're doing. I'll put in 150K, 100K, whatever for X percent in equity, right?
Mm.
And so that way the founder or the business owner relinquishes equity for cash investment.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this one's not repayable. It's not like you have to repay the...
Well, I mean, it's not repayable in the sense that for VC investments, of course, the guy who is bringing in money wants to exit at a particular point, right? So they are coming in with financial resource, but they're also coming in with intention to exit, right? To grow the business to a particular stage where it's either ripe for an acquisition, an IPO, or just humongous growth, right?
So for those who don't know what that means, because I know these are words that some people may not know. For example, if you watch Shark Tank or Dragon's Den, it's like I go on and say, "Hi, sharks, I'm looking for $500,000 in exchange for 20% of my company," right?
Yep.
And the sharks or these investors can say, okay, I will buy your company for $300,000 for 20% of your company.
Yep.
And that means they're saying that you will now give away 20% of the shares of that company to this shark. They are going to give you the money, but then they're also going to bring in their expertise, maybe their connections,
relationship capital.
It is beneficial, but I want everyone to know it's not beneficial for everybody. Like, it's not the choice that everybody should make, because as you said, when the sharks aren't just there because, oh yeah, let me give my money to this person. They're also wanting to get something out of it. So they want you to grow to a point where you can then sell your business and then buy them out of it, right?
Yeah. You raised a very good point, and I think I forgot to mention that. So that's one of the distinctions between debt and equity, right? So for equity, the investor, whoever is funding, is not just bringing in cash. They are bringing in stuff like relationship capital that helps open doors to position the business for growth.
Yeah.
But for banks, well, some banks go the extra mile, but most people, once they give you that fund, is based on certain approved purpose, right? So say working capital, and they leave you to do your stuff.
Yeah.
Right? So at the end of the day, they just come and tell you, you know, you have to pay interest and all that stuff, right? But
it's
a very good distinction.
Good to know.
Yeah.
And then the next one, grants. Okay, so I recently won a $10,000 grant, and everyone was like,
"Congrats.
How'd you do this? I didn't know about there were grants." So can you tell us a bit, like, what are grants and What are grants and
so
how do
grants
they work?
And non-refundable funding given to businesses. So like she won 10k. That's really cool. The whoever is issuing that or giving that fund does not expect anything in return. Usually it's governments or foundations that feel like the purpose or what you're doing aligns with their own thesis or investment thesis, and they feel like, you know what, she's doing the right thing and this is what we want to support, and so they give you grants. So
yeah,
a lot of grants, there are a lot of grants, especially from the federal government of Canada, provincial governments and foundations, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I like to describe this as it's kind of like free money. Obviously, you have to there's a lot of, it's not like you can just use it for anything though. I think that's what people need
it
to understand. Yeah, so I had to tell them exactly what I'm going to use it for, which vendors I'm going to be paying, have to show them receipts that I paid. So it's free money because you don't have to repay it, but there are specific things that you have to use it for within a specific time. And so like, but I think it's still good.
And you're audited, right?
They said up to 2 years later you can be audited. So I sent in all my receipts, but they can check 2 years. Did you actually buy that camera that you said you were going to buy, right? They can actually check. So I think someone told me that they're going to get grants in order to redistribute the money to their community. That's what they told me. And I was like,
I don't think that's a good use of funds.
Yeah,
for,
exactly. Like they were like, oh, I'm going to get these grants and then give them to everyone and help the community. I'm like, okay, well, if you get audited, you're paying the money back. So
yeah, that's, you could, I mean, I don't want to say fraud, but like that could be seen as fraudulent,
it's
right?
It's given fraud. It's given 419.
And that could be detrimental to your rep. But,
yeah, 100%. Okay, the other type is bootstrapping. So bootstrapping would be what?
Well, I feel like bootstrapping, like everyone has to bootstrap.
And what is bootstrapping?
That's so mostly you refer to bootstrapping as the business owners leveraging their own personal financing or funding and financing or funding that business to a point where they start making revenue and are self-sufficient, right? So that's the bootstrap process.
So putting in your own money.
And I feel like everybody, it's more like an unspoken requirement to get a loan or get equity financing. Like, put your money where your mouth is, right?
That's
so
true.
You have to bootstrap, right? You just have to.
Yeah.
Right? So I know that's a tricky.
Yeah.
The amount becomes tricky when you want to get a loan, but essentially, I think it makes sense if you're going to start a business, at least put in some dollars,
money.
Right?
Yeah, it makes sense. Like, why would I give you money if you never put in money in your own business, right?
Yeah. Well, so there are some people who, there are exceptions though, the exceptions to the rules.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, sectors like renewable energy and some industries that require high investment, right?
Yeah, like a lot of money.
Yeah, the amounts the person will want to put might be infinitesimal, right? So you have stuff like research grants and stuff like that help to cover those initial setup costs, right? So there are exceptions, but ideally, even if it's a registered company, that costs a couple of bucks, right? So
that's true.
Put that in.
That's true. Okay, so what, and I guess one more, seed funding. So what is seed funding?
Okay, so seed funding, that's, we're sort of angling towards the venture capital
equity.
Those are the buzzwords. So seed funding essentially is, let me not say VC. You're giving a company money to sort of start, right? A guy has a wonderful idea. He hasn't validated the business model. He doesn't have any customer. He's essentially pre-revenue. But you sort of like what he's doing, right? Mm. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to give you 10K seed money, right? Not to go spiritual, but like I'm sowing a seed, right? So so that's essentially what it is, right?
Okay.
So seed funds. But in the VC space, companies that say we've raised seed means they've raised funding from an institutional investor, a couple of institutional investors or VCs to essentially validate their business model, validate, build their product, and achieve product market fit.
Okay.
So that's seed funding from the VC aspect.
Okay, so it seems like there are a lot of different ways that we can get funding, but I guess it just really depends on the type of business that you have, how far along in your business you are, and I guess there are a lot of factors that would impact which one you would take.
Yep.
So are there any downsides to any of these forms of funding? Like if I take a grant, is there a downside that you can see, a loan, any of these? Are there downsides? Because again, we're trying to ensure nobody goes broke trying to get funding.
Get funding for your business. Yeah. So I think I usually advise a lot of introspection, if that makes any sense. So first of all, you need to know, do I need to fund my business at this point in time?
Mm-hmm.
If I do, what type of fund am I gunning for, right? And how do I go about it? Where can I access that those funds? So I'll start with a typical business owner, right? You have an idea, right? You've sort of tested the market. You have a couple of feedback from customers. So I'm assuming this typical business owner has done his due diligence and his homework. You now want to fund your business, right?
Mm-hmm.
It might be better for you to apply for a grant, and which is non-repayable, right? And grow your business to a particular stage before seeking external investment like debt financing, for instance,
mm-hmm.
right? Or equity investment. Now, like I said, for debt financing, typically you have businesses who have run for maybe a year, 2 years, or 3 years, generating recurring revenue. Their cash flow stable, not positive, cash flow stable, mm-hmm. right? When they approach banks, they are a very good, they are the ideal customer profile for banks, right? Yeah. If you're someone who is just starting out, you don't have customers, you don't have revenue, you don't have maybe a good credit history, you are not the ideal customer.
The banks don't want
to. Yeah, the banks don't want you, right?
Yeah.
So you want to think about that, right? And this is where financial literacy also comes in. Mm. So my advice would be, start off bootstrapping, right? First of all, then get to a point where you've achieved product market fit, right? Your product has been used by a couple of people repeatedly. Then you can now look at going for grants, if possible, right? Which takes a couple of time and research also. Then, of course, having a roadmap to either look at equity financing or debt financing. A lot of startup founders, and this is very interesting, it's called the founder's dilemma.
Okay.
So they have a business, right? And they don't want to part with equity. They want to have 100% of the stake, right? And they're like, how do I do this? So they have two options. Either they go for grants, which to a large extent, like how much grants can you get to scale your business? Very minimal, right? And you're not the only one getting the
grants. I guess it would depend on the type of grants, right?
Yeah, but like for a business.
I mean, type of business, sorry.
For the type of business, yeah. But if you want to scale your business, right?
You need a lot of
cash. You need continuous funding, right? Yeah. And so grants wouldn't cut it.
Okay.
Now, for debt seems like a very attractive funding type, because you're not relinquishing any equity or stake in your company. While that is good, what happens if you're unable to service those loans, right? Then you become you essentially become broke, right? And that hurts your credit score.
Yeah,
that hurts your ability to even get subsequent funding like equity, right? Mm. So, a lot of people play that game. Like, you know, I'm not going to go for equity investments because I don't relinquish
100% any part.
Well, you know what? Sometimes it can come back full circle and bite you.
Yeah,
so
makes sense.
It's something that people should also be very cautious about,
right? Okay.
when making that decision.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. And you were going through the like how someone determines what kind of funding they have.
Oh yeah. So if you are if you're pre-revenue, right? My advice would be to bootstrap.
Okay.
Apply for grants, right? When you are post-revenue and you've operated for a couple of years, where you most likely would have met a lot of requirements for either lenders like banks or investors, those requirements,
mm-hmm.
You can go for either, right? If you do not have if you do not have a very good credit score, mm-hmm. right, which I wouldn't say is the case frequently, but most people who don't have very good credit score have two options. They either go to payday lenders, which we do not support or recommend.
0 out of 10, or, do not recommend.
Yeah, or the I would recommend trying to raise funds in exchange for equity. Okay. Or to part with your equity, right?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I know you mentioned the ideal client for a bank.
Yep.
So my question was, can anybody get lending funding? And I guess not everybody can, especially from a bank, because they have strict requirements. So what kind of things, if somebody's listening and they want to get funding from a bank, for example, what kind of documentation do they have to have? What kind of customer profile do they have to have? So post-revenue, obviously, but what else?
Okay, so post-revenue, you have to have a good credit score. That goes without saying, because your credit score for the bank, is just telling me that you're a good borrower, right? So if you have a higher credit score, it means the likelihood of defaulting on a loan is very minimal, right?
Yeah.
So
is there a definition of good? Like what...
Depending on the type of loan, so a working capital loan, for instance, which is a loan that you're getting to meet your short-term obligations, right? Mm-hmm. If a bank is lending you, those kind of loans are usually for a shorter duration, right? They want someone who has a very good credit score, right?
Yeah.
Because
it's short-term
duration, right? And if they lose that fund, that's not going to be cool, right? In terms of documentations, business plan, right? So your business plan has to be very, very explicit. Your financial projections, right? Okay. Your historical financial statements. So income statement, balance sheet, articles of incorporation, right? Who are the folks on your board, right? Things like cash flow statements also. Right?
So I know, I'm guessing a lot of people are listening to this and they don't have any of those statements at all. I'm actually 99% sure.
Don't do that.
Yeah. First of all, do you have to be incorporated to get loans typically?
Yes.
Okay. So yes, no sole proprietorships. It's typically incorporation.
So sole proprietorship, it's very, of course, there are always exceptions to the rule, but the thing with sole proprietorship, just from the basic definition, it means that all the risk
on
one person. Mm-hmm. So what happens, God forbid, if the person is dead? That means the bank's money is gone.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, banks will typically give out funds to registered entities.
Okay.
Right? And, so
That makes sense. So for those who don't know, in Canada, there are a few types of businesses that you can have, but the main type is the three main types are partnerships, corporations, and sole proprietorships.
Yep.
When I'm a sole proprietor, that means I am the business. It's me, myself, and I. I was this until this year, and then I finally registered as a corporate, or I incorporated my business.
Great choice, because all the liabilities was on you.
Yeah, so
you
before that, if someone wants to sue my business, they're actually suing me, Rennie.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, if they want to sue my business, they're suing Rennie the Resource, which is an actual business that is a separate entity from me.
Exactly.
So a bank wants to know that if they are loaning to someone, they're loaning to not just you as an individual, but your business, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So you also mentioned statements like the balance sheet, the income statement, the cash flow statement.
Yep.
Again, I don't think the majority of people have these. So if they are seeking or debt, they should be looking to start recording things.
Yeah. Yeah. So those, and that's where I think, thank God for technology, right? So I think I have to mention this right now. A lot of black business owners, I won't say a lot, but some people fall into the trap of not separating personal finance from business finance.
Oh, yes. I see it often.
And so, yeah, you make a sale today, right? Instead of putting your account, your business account, you're transferring those funds to your personal account.
Yeah.
And so there are no records of your sales. You could be doing huge turnover in a month or in a year or in the period, but no one knows because of you're not keeping good records, right? That's not a very good habit. So in terms of financial literacy, you should be able to separate personal account from business account,
Okay. And this is for everyone. Please, I hope you're listening. Even if you are a sole proprietor, still separate your business expenses and income from your personal expenses and income. Yep. You also can't really track if you're actually making money if you're mixing the two together, because I guarantee you're just dipping into your business money to fund your personal, or vice versa. Yeah.
Okay. And also some people need to, I guess, I wouldn't say, you don't need to hire an accountant right away. You could use stuff like QuickBooks or even Microsoft Excel, right? Just keep a record of income inflows coming into the business and what my expenses are, with evidence like receipts, that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So that at the end of the month or the year, rather, when you want to file an account, right, you have those records and you can prepare your financial statement, right? And that ties in with your stuff from your account statement.
Yeah. And I know you mentioned not all Black business owners, but honestly, the majority. I've seen, like, from what I've seen, whenever I have one-on-ones with people, and they ask me questions like, oh, what should I do for my personal finance? Like, I just started this business and I'm trying to, first of all, they have one account for everything. And then they are not tracking anything. Like, I met with someone a few weeks ago who tracks everything on a notes app in their phone. Yeah. And I'm like, you're gonna make a mistake. At least you're tracking something, but you're going to make a mistake that way. So I would tell everyone to avoid going broke. Please start with tracking your income and expenses. Separate your business finances, as you said. And you can use apps like QuickBooks, Wave, Excel. I have an Excel spreadsheet. Maybe I should start selling it, because I think people need it.
Your template, right? Yeah. You could monetize on it.
Yeah. Because I think people really need it.
Yeah, I think a lot of, and it helps, just like you said, it makes things very clear, because you can't remember everything.
You can't. Right?
So it's very good to actually keep records, because when you go to a bank, for instance, a bank wants to, so what was your previous year like?
Exactly.
You're like, I don't have any records. You're like, yeah, end of discussion.
Yeah, but right? we ain't giving you no money.
Yeah, because I mean, at the very least, it shows you're not disciplined.
Yeah.
And you need to be very disciplined if you're going to be responsible for someone else's money, because you're borrowing to pay back. It's not your money.
Yeah. Question. What happens if you can't service the loan anymore? What happens?
You get blacklisted. Like, so there are processes, obviously. So what banks will do is try to recover, right? Most banks will obviously have collaterals, right? And if a borrower defaults, the bank has their processes. They try to get their money back. If that doesn't work, they look at the collateral. Usually the collateral would either be able to help them realize a large chunk of what they've lost, or even more than that.
So what are people putting up as collateral? Like their house? Or?
Yeah, I mean, their mortgage, most collateral is mortgages, which now becomes interesting, because I don't want us to deviate, but you now get to a point where some people can't even get those funds because they don't have those collaterals to put up to start with, right?
So systemic problem.
Yeah, those are systemic issues.
Yeah.
That's another gist, right?
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are some of the common mistakes that you often see business owners making when seeking funding? Any of the types of funding?
Well, so the first common mistake would be going for a particular funding type that you're not prepared for or you do not need.
Mm.
So someone who probably should have looked for grants, for instance, going to borrow from banks, and you can't sustain that. Or someone who is not ready to receive VC investment, going to raise funds. And those guys are pummeling you every day with expectations and stuff. You need to grow, right? And I mean, there's a bit of conflict there, right? So you have to be, so that's one. Secondly, you have people who are not very, like we talked about, people who are not very disciplined.
Yeah.
And they sort of make a whole lot of mistakes, right? That leaves them either broke and their credit history bad, right? And unable to, they're left in a cycle of debt, essentially.
Exactly, yeah.
Right. Another mistake would be people who borrow and misuse the funds, so misappropriate funds, right? So they convinced someone that they were going to use the funds to grow and expand their business, and they are now in Mexico,
yeah,
right? And they say they are networking, right? But I mean, they're having fun.
Yeah.
Right. So misuse of funds, which is not very good because it shows a lot of lack of discipline.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So those are some of the mistakes that.
And you've mentioned your credit score a few times. So can you guys tell us how important your personal credit score is with your business? Because I think a lot of people would think, oh, you know, it's a separate entity. Who cares? But again, how does that work?
Yeah. So your credit score, like I said earlier, is essentially a measure of how good this person is with funds that are not his, right? Because your credit score comes from credit that you get from your from the government, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm able to borrow from the government and pay as at when due, right, there are a couple of things that come into play. Your utilization rate, the length of time you've stayed, the frequency, the number of times you've been called upon, like your credit, mm-hmm. and a host of other stuff, right? But principally, we just want to see, is this person a good borrower, right? If he has a low score, then that could be a problem. Yeah. Now, there are some people, there are always exceptions. Depending on the type of financial institution, depending on the type of loan, right? There are some loans that don't really place a lot of emphasis on credit score.
Okay.
So you might be able to, especially for businesses that probably have their cash flow stable and maybe they want to borrow funds to maybe make a major acquisition like an equipment, acquire an equipment or a mortgage, right? At that point, the credit score of the owners might not count for so long. But if you're starting out or you've been in business for just a couple of years, mm-hmm. banks will look at, and it's, say, working capital, right?
Okay.
Banks will say, you know, your credit score is not very, it's not cutting it, mm-hmm. right? And I feel like if I borrow you this money, it's going to go to...
They're not giving you that money.
Yeah. They also look at things like your financial statement. They scrutinize it a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I think a lot of people need to be aware of, right? There's something called debt to equity ratio, which means, and the industry standard is your equity should cover your debt at least twice. So it should be a 2-to-1 ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Taking on a lot of debt flips that, which is not good, because if you go bankrupt or you're unable to service a loan, that's a problem,
mm-hmm.
right? And it will affect your credit score essentially,
yeah.
right? So that too is also very important. But yeah, the credit score, like I said, very, very important, especially in Canada, right? To get a house, to get a car, to even pay your phone bills and stuff like that, you need to have a very good, you need to be disciplined, right?
Yes.
And if you start off wrong, right, it becomes, it takes a long time to correct those mistakes, right?
Yeah.
So it's better you just, it's better you just borrow wisely.
Yeah.
Always apply wisdom,
mm-hmm.
right? And repay as much as possible.
Yeah.
And as I went you. Yeah.
So just building on that, if I decide not to pay my, I can no longer service my loan.
Yeah.
That hits my personal credit. Or how does that work? Because I feel like some people may just be like, oh, taking out money, you know, they can't. Well, I guess you get blacklisted after the first time, so you can't really do it over and over, right?
Exactly.
But does it hit your personal credit as well?
You would be impacted in some way, right? Because you are tied to the organization, you're affiliated to the organization.
Yeah.
And before any other person gives you, it's a very close-knit circle.
Okay.
Before any other person gives you loans, they are going to run your name and who you're affiliated with, right?
So okay, sounds good.
You'll be flagged.
So don't do that, everybody.
Yeah.
Fix up. Okay. Yeah. So how can a business owner improve their chances of getting approved for funding? Are there like any certain things we can do? I think you mentioned that having a solid business plan would help you get approved for funding.
Yep.
Any other tips?
That's a very good question. General tips, right? Have a very good business plan. And when I say business plan, a lot of people, and this is very common with people in tech, right? Tech entrepreneurs, they focus a lot on their product or service, not the business.
Yeah.
Right. So have a very good business model, business plan, how to earn money, because that's why anybody will give you money to start with, right? Have a very good go-to-market strategy, marketing plan. A lot of financial institutions actually go as far as looking at your projections in the next 3 years to see if you even have plans to hire, right? Because someone has plans to hire means it's going to be in need for a long run, right? Plan. Long haul, rather. So someone who is, if you have like just two or three people, chances of that business generating as much revenue is a bit limited. So that could work against you. So being disciplined, having a very good business plan, mm-hmm. right? Also, I don't want to say this, but I think I need to, you have to be in a domain, a market that is attractive or competitive, like have a competitive advantage. Because if the difference between you and someone else is probably pricing, right, then you're screwed. Someone else can just reduce their price or increase or whatever and you're gone, right? So having a very good competitive advantage gives a perception of stability, gives a perception of, okay, she knows or he knows what he's doing, right? A lot of, then your partners, right, your who you have on your board, that kind of stuff, it helps position you in a very good light.
Okay, and so what about some of the red flags that could be in my business and an investor would see that and they'd be like, nope, we are not funding this business. Like, what are some things that you hear often?
So the way your business is structured, the legal structure, so like we talked about, it's sole proprietorship. Someone who wants to fund your business might be turned off by the fact that you're sole proprietorship, right? That speaks a lot. One is risk. Secondly, they feel like you probably are not a team player. Mm-hmm. So if you do not have partners, co-founders, whatever, right? Are you a jack of all trades, right?
Or maybe it just shows that you don't have plans to scale, right?
Yeah, or you just, maybe you tried reaching out to people and people don't, they don't like your attitude. And like, nope, you decided. Yeah, so that's one of it. Second is for those who are established. So if you have a very bad financial history, so they look at your 3-year financial statements and just, I mean, making a loss is not all that negative, right? But maybe your losses are crazy, yeah. right? And maybe all the money is going to salaries and stuff like that, right? There is no reinvesting in the business, mm-hmm. right? You also have some business owners, they make a profit of 100K and they wipe everything out.
On expenses?
Like the profit after the deducted expense, they mm-hmm. just take it out of the business and they start the next year with zero. Instead of like
red flag,
that's a red flag. Like you should invest a portion of your those profits in retained earnings so that mm-hmm. you start the next year you could invest in stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So those are things that investors also look at. They look at now red flags in terms of this market is probably shrinking in terms of total addressable market. Yeah. Maybe technology has disrupted that market mm-hmm. and.
Why would I invest there?
Why do I invest there? The returns are minimal,
like
right?
Like investing in Blockbuster when Netflix was rising.
Exactly, you know? Right? Yeah. Yeah. So those are the kind of decisions that the financiers or those who have the funds will make decisions. Also, there are some businesses that certain financiers wouldn't just fund. Maybe it goes against their who they are, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right.
Like, for example, if it's a Christian organization, like for a grant, they would want to fund a cannabis company. Like, is that an example?
Well, it's legal now, so.
I know, but, you know, some Christians, though, they might be like, somehow about it.
Yeah, so some institutions wouldn't fund, like, institutions or businesses that have a vibe of taking advantage of certain. So women, for instance, they wouldn't want to fund those types of businesses because that goes against societal norms and stuff like that.
Okay, so that makes sense.
They wouldn't fund those businesses.
Yeah. And I hope everyone's listening to this. And it doesn't mean that you can't have you can't be a sole proprietor. Yeah. It just means that when seeking funding, it may not be the most attractive things to funders. Yeah. But again, not every business needs to seek funding right now. And maybe 10 years later when you're ready to actually seek funding. So I would just tell you to make sure that you take this advice, but also apply it to your own situation.
Yeah. And I need to say something too. Do not, if you don't have the funds or the structure to set up a limited liability company, right? You could start as a sole proprietorship and work your way, right? So there is no one says you have to start as a limited liability company. You can start as a sole proprietorship and work your way as you scale. But just if you're going to go for debt funding or financing, chances of getting that as a sole proprietor are very, very slim, right?
Yeah. Okay. And what about red flags on the other side? Because I think a lot of people may go broke by trying to get funding from random sources, like, you know, I feel like sharks, for example, what are they called? Not the sharks, but like
payday
sharks. Yeah. Like, for example, so what are some red flags for us looking for funding for our business, just to make sure that we don't go broke? Like, if their interest rate is like a payday loan, what are they like? You know, the criminal code, like the criminal interest rate in the criminal code of Canada right now is 47%.
Yeah.
That is insane.
And some people go for that, right?
Red flag, no?
That's a red flag. That just shows you how desperate those people are anyway, right? That's crazy.
Yeah.
So those anyone who is promising you ridiculous interest rates, like interest rates that are way below what any financial institution can offer, they are red flags. And I'll tell you why. Most likely, when you're done paying those fees, at the end of the day, you wish you went with the regular guys.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some institutions that give hidden fees, right? If you default on this, a daily fee of this. And when you calculate all that, you realize
it's
that
cheaper to go.
It would have been cheaper to go with a regular financial institution. And that's where financial literacy comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And where your disclaimer saying, seek professional advice, right? Yeah. Don't be swayed by interest. Because that's what a lot of them use to attract people. Like, our interests are very low. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what's the fee that I incur if I default just for one day?
Okay, that's a good point. I didn't know that. So okay,
that's something that you need to.
And I think the key thing here, just to make sure you don't go broke, is when as a person themselves, you need financial literacy regardless. But when you have a business, I feel like you need another level of financial literacy to ensure you don't go broke, to manage your business, to interact with like how you're pricing yourself. But also like when you're accepting funding, you need to understand that whole thing. Yeah,
you need to understand when is the best time. What stage is the best for me and my business to accept funding? Because it comes with a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
Right now, if you're accepting debt funding or financing, it means you're going to pay a very high interest because of extremely the way the market high. Is right now. Capital is not cheap, right?
At all. And are those usually variable interest rates or are they fixed?
They are not fixed. They're variable, most likely.
Wow. So if you took a loan 2 years ago when interest rates were cheap and it's a 2-year loan.
Yeah.
They're upfront. Wow. Okay. Good.
I mean,
to
if, know. If you locked in at a very good fixed rate, you might be lucky. But most people go for floating variable. Yeah. And right now.
Now, it would make sense to go for variable, and not lock in at this crazy rate.
That would be crazy. Yeah.
So you said about using your funding or being responsible with your funding. So, how can business owners ensure they are being responsible with the funding that they get, so they don't put their business at risk and go broke?
Yeah, so the top of the list would be using those funds in revenue generating activities, right?
Okay.
Not stuff that you when you throw the money at, it's gone, right? So you want to invest those funds or deploy them rather to revenue generating activities.
Example.
So marketing, right?
Okay.
R&D, developing a new product that is probably going to meet a segment in need and generate revenue, or even hiring staff, for instance, talent that would work to improve your product, your service, that kind of stuff. So revenue generating activities.
So putting your money in things that will make you more money.
More money.
So making your money, making their money work for you.
Exactly.
And then so you can pay them back if necessary or whatever this funding structure is.
Exactly. Don't go buy a car, stuff like that. Except the car is making money, more money.
Yeah. Okay. And can you tell us about any like surprising funding situations that you've seen? So either a good news story or maybe a bad news, like traumatic, horror story.
I don't know. This didn't happen here, but like this is a very funny story. So back home when I worked in the bank, there was this customer who borrowed a lot of money. And at some point when he was defaulting, they realized he was in Canada. So the dude ran away with
Japan with money.
Exactly. So he ran away with folks' money, right?
Oh, wow.
And it was, I don't think he was able to recover a lot of it, right? Because he borrowed money and left, right?
So okay.
That was one of the bad ones that I've seen, right?
Have you seen any good ones?
I mean, there are some people who sort of like the amount of funds that was given to them, they were able to use that to turn around your business, like very, very rapidly, right? Yeah. So those are like, yeah, you always have success stories. Mm-hmm. It was a female run business, and she was looking to get funds to expand her cosmetic line, right? And she was able to get a considerable amount of money, not so much, but now she's expanding into the US, right? So
And I know you mentioned resources, like you should always seek out professional advice or resources. Where would we find this?
Yeah, so I mean, right now you have financial advisors like everywhere.
At the bank.
At the banks. Mm-hmm. I won't say ChatGPT yet. But
could be an option.
Yeah, I mean online.
Ask them.
You could take advantage of banking advisors or financial advisors at banks. Take advantage of investment apps. A lot of them have employed robotics automation to help give you certain advice, mm-hmm. financial advice. There's also a lot of times what people do not talk about so often is the tax aspect, right? Because that's also an element of funding, right? Yeah. What's the best way to minimize your tax? So also speak to accountants. Licensed accountant,
yeah, an CPA, accounting firm, or CA,
yeah, exactly. so that you get the best deal, the best advice, mm-hmm. right? It might not come cheap initially, but those knowledge that you get is what is and will help you across your business mm-hmm. or even personally. Yeah.
Okay, so thank you for all of that. I feel like I've learned a lot from this.
Yeah.
If there was one piece of advice that you would give our listeners to ensure that they don't go broke trying to fund their business, what would that piece of advice be?
Consult a financial advisor. It's as simple as that. Just consult a financial advisor. That helps with answering a lot of questions because that way you're explaining to the person your situation, right? And they are there to make a recommendation based on your own situation, right?
Yeah. I agree. I think
that would be the best advice I would give.
Yeah, right. I think a lot of people overlook these things because it's, again, they're like, oh, it's expensive. I don't want to reach out to a professional. Yeah. But it could save you so much money in the long term if you just consult someone up front. Somebody who knows the landscape, they can advise you properly, tell you, okay, maybe don't go for debt funding right now, go for this type of funding. But of course, you have to be receptive to listening to their advice.
Yeah,
you also
have to be receptive. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me and your guests.
Do you want to plug anything or say any last words to the audience?
Do I have anything? I mean,
if they want to find you, where would they find you?
Oh, so I'm active on Instagram, Sosonese, that's my IG handle, and also on LinkedIn. So my full name, Sochikumar, on LinkedIn. I've left Snapchat, so you can't find me.
Well, thank you, Chooks.
It was too much for me.
Thank you, Chooks. I will make sure to leave your links in the show notes so that they can click on it and connect with you if they would like to. And hopefully we can have you back at a later date.
Sure, I'm coming back. We have a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yes, we can't wait to have you. All right. Everyone, if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure you, first of all, hit subscribe on whatever platform you are listening to this podcast on, okay?
Subscribe to our page,
I was looking
at
the analytics, and most of you who listen to this podcast listen regularly, but you're not subscribed, and I'm confused as to why. Okay, so please subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe or follow on what is it, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, wherever you're listening, please subscribe because it really does
follow
help.
Channel, please.
Yes, follow my personal YouTube channel on all the platforms. We want to have you in the family, okay? Because we're growing rapidly, and you know, last year we were the top 5% most shared podcast in the world, and this year I'm trying to be top 1%. So the only way I can do that is if you really help me by subscribing. So thank you so much. Okay.
Yeah. And I forgot to say congratulations. I think you're nominated for a couple of awards.
Yeah. Thank you.
Huge shout out to you. You're doing well.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Okay, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Can't wait to see you in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
I hope you learned some things that will help you to not go broke. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, make sure to subscribe wherever you're listening and share this episode with a friend. To watch the video version of this podcast, check out the DGBT YouTube channel, and you can continue the conversation on Twitter using the hashtag DGBTpod. This episode was produced by Matthew I with music by Wonder Girl.